Salut ma gang de malicieuses vermicelles de Chicoutimi-Nord, j'espère que vous allez très bien. Je suis Faberglass et je suis présent aujourd'hui pour vous offrir le tout premier épisode du MMA Talk Show. Ça, c'est le nouveau podcast de MMA Talk. Mais pas si nouveau que ça, dans le fond. C'est pas mal un vieux podcast que j'ai juste changé le nom. C'est basically le Fabercast, OK? Puis j'ai décidé de changer de nom. C'est le podcast ici où je fais des entrevues avec les combattants, tu sais, où j'essaie de mettre en lumière les combattants, surtout les combattants canadiens. Je vous avouerai, je veux vraiment me pencher sur le Canada ici, puisque sur le Hypebook Podcast, tu sais, on parle des nouvelles de MMA, on parle des nouvelles de l'univers complet des arts martiaux mixtes, l'UFC, les événements de Bellator, tu sais, n'importe quoi qui se passe dans le monde des arts martiaux mixtes. C'est là qu'on en parle, c'est là qu'on discute de ça avec Grégory Saint-Pierre. Sur le podcast ici, je veux vraiment me pencher sur le Canada. Je veux parler aux fighters canadiens, je veux parler aux fighters qui affrontent les fighters canadiens. Je veux parler des événements locaux canadiens, les Unified, les BFL, les BTC, les Samouraï, les Fight League Atlantic. C'est ça que je veux qu'on parle ici. Je vais faire des recaps pour les événements, continuer mes entrevues avec divers fighters canadiens ou, comme j'ai dit, des fighters qui vont affronter des fighters canadiens dans des match-ups qui nous intéressent. Tu sais, je ne vous le cacherai pas, des fois, sur Facebook, je poste un gars canadien qui a fait quelque chose, puis je me rends compte que c'est des gars comme Chad Anliger, des doutes de même. Les gens ne savent pas c'est qui. Et le gars rentre dans l'UFC, puis c'est la première fois de sa vie qu'il entend ce nom-là. Puis il dit, ah, c'est un Canadien, ça. Bon, ben, guess, je vais prendre pour lui. Je veux plus que ça arrive, ça. Je veux prendre le temps de parler aux fighters, de vous laisser la chance de les découvrir. Comme ça, quand ils arrivent dans l'UFC, vous savez déjà c'est qui. Vous pouvez déjà être des partisans. Aussi, ce show-là va être absolument bilingue. On va avoir des segments en français, des segments en anglais, des entrevues en français, des entrevues en anglais. Il n'y a aucune discrimination. C'est le Canada, on a deux langues officielles, OK? Puis la raison pourquoi je fais ça, c'est évidemment, je vais faire le contenu en anglais que je pense qu'il va plus faire plaisir aux gens qui parlent anglais. Et puis, je vais faire le contenu en français aux gens que je pense qui sont plus intéressés par ce contenu-là. Tu sais, un recap de Samouraï, mettons. C'est sûr que je vais faire ça en français. C'est un événement d'MMA québécois. Mais je m'en vais faire un recap du Unified 41 là, dans quelques instants. C'est le premier segment du podcast aujourd'hui. Évidemment que je vais le faire en anglais. C'est un événement qui a eu lieu à Edmonton. Tous les combattants qui se battaient sur la carte viennent du Canada anglais. Donc, naturellement, je pense qu'ils vont être plus intéressés à ce genre de contenu-là. Fait que ça me permet aussi vraiment, avec ce nouveau podcast-là, de faire ça bilingue. Et puis, je suis vraiment excité pour le premier épisode. C'est un très bon épisode. C'est un épisode qui va être plus long que d'habitude et tout, parce que je ne vous cacherai pas, j'ai quelques entrevues en banque. Et puis, ben, je voulais vraiment vous mettre le plus de stock possible ici, parce que là, jeudi et vendredi cette semaine, il y a deux événements du BFL. Donc, naturellement, la semaine prochaine, je vais faire un recap du BFL. Je vais parler de ça. J'ai peut-être d'autres entrevues en banque. Je vais peut-être en réaliser des nouvelles aussi pour ce podcast-là. Mais aujourd'hui, je voulais vraiment vous donner les grosses entrevues que j'ai déjà faites puis qui sont d'actualité en ce moment. Puis c'est pour ça que j'ai un peu modifié le podcast dernière minute. Je disais sur le iPod podcast dimanche qu'on recevait Jasmine, Jesus the Vicious et Tommy Morrison. Et puis ça, ça ne change pas. Ça ne change absolument pas. On les reçoit toujours. Je suis vraiment très heureux de leur parler. Mais on a un invité de plus. Et cet invité-là, c'est lui qui était dans le main event du Unified 41. C'est un des meilleurs combattants pound for pound au Canada, vétéran de l'UFC, Shaolin Shane Campbell, qui s'est battu. Il y a eu un peu de bisbille par rapport à ce main event-là. Des choses sont arrivées. On va en parler dans pas long dans le recap. Mais basically, il a appris à quelques heures du début de la carte, voire même une heure avant le début de la carte. Il se dirigeait vers le meeting des fighters. Puis il a appris que son adversaire, Michael Hill, avait pull out du combat. Et ce, pour aucune raison donnée. Shane ne sait pas toujours à ce jour, après le combat, pourquoi son adversaire a pull out à la dernière seconde comme ça. Après avoir fait la pesée, après avoir tout fait, là, tout était fait, là, il était pesé, il avait fait le face-off, tout était prêt. Puis une heure avant le début de la carte, son adversaire Michael Hill pull out, doivent trouver un gars qui était déjà sur la carte, proche de son poids, pour le faire move up dans le main event. Ça fait perdre un combat à un training partner, Shane Campbell, qui est Cole Campbell, qui ne sont pas dans la même famille, mais c'est des training partners. Cole passe au combat, Matt Krajko monte dans le main event à la dernière seconde pour affronter Shane Campbell, man. Tu sais, quand tu te réveilles le matin, tu dis « Ah, je m'en vais me battre », puis là, finalement, dans le milieu de la journée, tu apprends que tu t'en vas plus te battre contre le même gars, tu t'en vas te pogner contre Shane Campbell. C'est pas vraiment c'est pas vraiment le fun, ce gars-là, c'est un tueur en série. Mais bref, On parle de ça avec lui. Puis juste avant ça, j'ai le recap du Unified 41. On parle de toute la carte, tous les combats sur la carte, évidemment, comme je veux faire. Donner un peu de lumière là-dessus. Puis vous donner mes impressions aussi sur cet événement-là. Évidemment, ce segment-là va être en anglais. Puis c'est le premier segment. Fait recap du Unified, Shaolin Shane Campbell, Jasmine Jesse de Vicious. Et on finit ça avec le dessert, un des meilleurs prospects au Canada qui va faire ses débuts pro bientôt, Tommy Morrison. Fait que bon podcast à vous. Hey, we're back after this short French segment. Like I was saying, I really want to do this podcast bilingual for everybody in Canada to be able to enjoy it. I've got some people in Quebec that are really anxious to know what happened, but I know some most of these people, they speak a little English. Like they can understand while I'm speaking in English, even if they're not good speakers themselves. As for my other Canadian people outside of Quebec, I know you guys don't speak French, and I know you guys want to know what happened at Unified 41, so that's why I'm doing this segment in English for you guys, and we're gonna begin, of course, with the main event of the evening. It was supposed to be Shane Campbell, Michael Hill for the 165 strap at Unified. It was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Canadian MMA fight of the year, and man, we didn't get to see it. And that's one of like really the weirdest, the most intriguing stuff that happened this year in Canada and in a while, to be honest, because as of this day, we still don't know what happened. Shane, I spoke to Shane. I'm not gonna like spoil what he said, but basically an hour before the event, they were going to the fighter meetings, and he got a call saying that Michael Hill was pulling out of the fight. He was not going to make it, even though he weighed in, even though they faced off, even though everything was good. They were fighting, and the card was beginning in an hour, basically, and he pulled out with no reason. We don't know why. I'm very intrigued to know what happened here. Shane doesn't know. The promotion don't seem to really know, since they didn't tell Shane what happened with Michael. I guess if they knew something, they would have told Shane, since he's involved in that fight and he kind of deserves to know what happened to his opponent. But fortunately enough, Matt Krayko, that's a real fighter. We got to give major props to this guy, because he was scheduled to take on Cole Campbell at 170 on the same event. And man, they just moved him up to the main event. Cole Campbell, who is a training partner of Shane at Shaved Bears MMA, he let his opponent go. He lost his fight, basically didn't fight on the evening. So major props to Cole Campbell too for that one, man. This guy's a real one for that. So he just let his fight go in order to save the main event. Matt Krayko pulled up last second to fight Shaolin Shane Campbell. Isn't that crazy? When you wake up in the morning, you know, hey, I'm going to fight today. And then hours later, you're still fighting, but you're fighting Shane Campbell. Isn't that crazy? So that's just the way it happened. I can't wait to know more. I need to know the truth about that one. I need to know what happened. I hope that someday we get to know what was up with that one. But for now, we don't know. And what we know is that we had a main event. It was for a belt. It was for the welterweight title, though they moved up. The commission was cool enough to allow the 5-pound difference, because Shane was fighting at 65. So he weighed in at 65 for his title fight. Krayko was fighting at 70. So he weighed in at 169 and a couple of pounds, 170 pounds. I don't really remember the exact weight, but he made weight for 70. Pound title fight, and he wasn't over the 170, so he was able to be on mark for the title fight. They were able to book a title fight last minute, welterweight title, and that's what we had. And it was a good main event, man, for really delivered for a fight that wasn't even booked the same morning. Matt Krayko came in, and he came in to fight. He gave Shane Campbell absolutely no chances, but neither did Shane to him. And man, it was a dominant decision win for Shane Campbell. Let's say like that. The guy was in full control of the action. He was controlling the distance, landing the better strikes on the feet. And when it wasn't happening, it's because he took him down and was controlling him from the top. And I really liked the showdown from Shane Campbell. So, you know, back in the day, this guy was known as a striker. Shane Campbell was a Muay Thai striker who wanted to knock the hell out of his opponents. And he really showed a complete evolved game in this fight. He was willing to take the fight to the ground, do his damage there, get some control time, really like secure the rounds against a guy that, yes, he was out striking, but it was a good matchup. Like I said, Matt Krayko really came to fight. He left no stones unturned. This guy was there to give his all and try to do the impossible and defeat the Shaolin chain. And he was unable, but he gave it a good run. Like I said, Campbell was having good moments striking in that fight and was really able to secure the takedowns and really solidify his win on the scorecards. It was a decision win. Krejko was not willing to be killed in that fight. Shane did what he had to do, stayed super safe too. There wasn't any moment where he did something that was kind of wild and kind of put him into trouble. At no point did Shane Campbell lose this fight. He was always in control. He was always in the driver's seat. And that's what you need to do when you're like, you're probably the top pound for pound fighter in the country and you got a short notice guy coming in on a day's notice and can be so dangerous. Like basically anything can happen. And Shane just kept it safe, but kept it interesting too. It was a good fight. It was an entertaining fight. Even if it wasn't the most competitive fight, it was really entertaining. We had a main event, so I guess we just got to say thanks for that one. It was so close. We were so close from not seeing Shane Campbell on that card. We had the chance to see him. So major props to Matt Krejko. Like I said, this guy's a real fighter, man. Like when you wake up and you're not supposed to be fighting Shane Campbell and you just decide to go and do it, you're a crazy guy, and this guy's going to have a respect forever because of that one. So major props to him. Shout out to Shane Campbell. Decision win, dominant win. The guy needs to get out of here. He needs to not fight on the regional scene anymore. He's way too good for all these people. We need to see him back in the UFC. Like I've been saying years and years ago with Jesse Ronson, I wanted Jesse Ronson back at all costs. Now it's Shane Campbell. We need Shane Campbell back. He's too good to fight here. I don't want to see him fight here anymore. Even if I love to see him fight, of course, I would like to see Shane fight in Canada again, but it's not for him. Get this guy the chance. He's at his best. He's at his peak. We've never seen him better before, and I really want to see him fight in the big leagues. So please, UFC, just sign him so that he can move on finally. And then in the co-main event of the evening, we had Christian Larsen, who was back in Alberta after his champion versus champion fight in BFL. He went on and tried to conquer the belt in BC. Came up short, unfortunately, in that fight. It was a good back-and-forth fight for the time it lasted, but Christian fell short, was not able to come back to Alberta with the belt, and he had to have a chip on his shoulder in this fight to go back into the winner's column and do it in a very dominant fashion. And damn, that's what he did, man. First moments of the fight, Grayson Wells was like, I'm not letting that guy do anything. I don't want him to have distance on me. I don't want him to hit me hard. I just want to close the distance and try to see what we can do. And Grayson found out soon enough that, man, this guy is so big, so strong, so physical. He just took him like with both underhooks and lateral dropped him on the floor. Was able to secure some control time a little bit. When I say a little bit, just a little bit, because, man, it wasn't long until he had locked in that arm triangle choke and got the tap. It's exactly 1 minute and 8 seconds after the beginning of the fight. Christian Larsen already had defended his belt. And, man, what am I going to say more? That was dominant. That was good. That was the way you want to bounce back after a loss, a surprising loss, is to just go back and dominate and be able to reestablish yourself as one of the top dogs, if not the top heavyweight dog in Canada, next to Kai Machado. And, man, speaking of guys that we might see in a big show someday, soon enough, I'd say, Chris Larsen. Like, he's the Canadian heavyweight. Because, you know, Kai Machado, too, he's a good heavyweight. But this guy's built on a way smaller frame than Christian Larsen. Machado could easily do 205. And when he gets to the UFC, things he's going to get to the UFC. There's no doubt about it. But once Machado gets to the UFC, it's going to be tougher for him to be a heavyweight. Since guys, like, they're fast, they're athletic in the UFC, but they're also big, like, big. And Christian Larsen, that guy cuts weight basically to do 265, so he's the big heavyweight. He's the guy that's not gonna go down to 205, never. So if you want to look into a Canadian heavyweight that's gonna stay a heavyweight, that's gonna stay in the heavyweight division in the future, and that's gonna knock the hell out of some guys or submit them easily on the ground, well, it's Christian Larsen. You need to follow that guy, and that really showed in that fight that he's pretty much a level above any other heavyweight in Canada that's not named Kai Machado. So these two guys, they both need to get signed soon enough for me, but I'll be quite happy to see them compete here a couple of more times for sure. sure, man. I'll never be mad to turn on a unified card and see Christian Larsen on it. You can't be mad about that. That guy is just like brutal. So that was a good one. And then at 165, we had a veterans fight between Tim Smith and Behrang Youssefi. And man, Tim Smith started pretty good. Like, he was probably on his way to stopping that losing streak he recently had. He was able to secure some good takedowns, get some top control, do a little bit of damage, not maybe as much as he had wished for, but he was able to do the damage. He clearly won the first round in my book. And then second round, he was doing more of the same. And then out of nowhere, Behrang Youssefi was able to lock in a triangle choke. That's one of his moves. And he was able to secure it here, worked a little bit for it, and then got the tap from Tim Smith at 2:04 of the second round to win in his comeback. Behrang Youssefi had been absent for a while. I didn't even know if he was fighting anymore. We had not seen him since May of 2018 when he lost to Neil Anderson at Unified 33. We were now at Unified 41. And he made his comeback, got dominated on the ground a little bit. I wouldn't say dominated, but had some control time against him. Like, didn't win the first round, was not able to be the guy that was winning the actual fight until he just won the fight because he finished it. So I'm really happy to see him back. I hope that he's going to fight again for sure, man. This guy has a lot of experience now with 16 pro fights, and he's in a division that there's a lot of guys that are coming through, a lot of new guys that are beginning their pro careers and are starting to get good records, and that they're going to need to be tested by a good, experienced guy soon enough. And I feel like Behrang is probably that guy, and I feel like he could win lots of these fights too. He's super crafty, super experienced. So I really hope to see him back in the cage soon. And as for Tim Smith, man, props to that guy. That guy is a warrior. That guy is a pioneer. He's been fighting since 2006. A guy that started his pro career with a 1-3 record and then won 13 of his 18 next fight. He was able to completely turn it around, become a regional champion, and really be a pioneer in the late 2000s, early 2010s for Canadian MMA. So we got to give this guy a big, big shout out. He was active before I was even watching this sport, and he had a tougher run in the last few years. In 2013, he won his last fight at Unified 17, then took a break, came back in 2015, where he lost, and then 2019 fought once, 4 years later lost two, and fortunately for him, this year fought twice and lost his fights. And that's probably why he just called it quits, man, in the cage. After that fight, Tim Smith retired. This guy gave enough of his body, gave enough of his shape, his physical form to the sport of MMA. And he's older now. It's not working as well as it was back in the day, but we can't forget everything he has done for us. Like I said, a pioneer of Canadian MMA, a champion for Unified. This guy is not going to be forgotten. Tim Smith, thanks a lot for everything that you did for this sport in Canada. And man, enjoy your retirement. You've deserved it, my man. You did everything you had to do in that sport and even more. And we're going to remember him for a long time, for sure. One of our pioneers, Tim Shady Smith. Big shout outs to him. Big thank you for everything that he'd done for us. And shout out to Behrang Youssefi coming back with that win here in a veterans fight. And like I said, really hope to see him in the cage again. Then before that, we had a 190-pound catchweight professional fight between Ali Charkey and Chris Chapman. And that was the case of a little much too soon for Ali Charkey. He had won his pro debut on the last event. He fought at Unified 40, beat Lorenzo Silis by unanimous decision. And he's a super big, athletic, explosive, muscly guy that people have a lot of faith in since he made his pro debut earlier this year. And he was having his second child. And Chris Chapman, that was a big one, because Chris Chapman was 3-2 before that fight, already had 5 pro fights under his belt, was going for his 6th one against a guy who was only 1-0. And Charkey began the fight pretty good, I'd say. He clearly won the first round, but as you saw him win that first round, you kind of know that he was putting way too much energy in that one, and that it was going to be tough for him to maintain his gas tank throughout the fight. And the more the fight advanced, the more that we exactly saw that. and that Chris Chapman was able to defend the takedowns more and more and land some strikes. He was the grittier fighter for sure, was the better striker. He had like more combinations, more volume, and he was really able to navigate around Charkey, standing up, landing the better shots and defending the takedowns. And that's how he was able to win the second round and continued his assault in the third round. And Charkey almost made it through the fight. I'd say not a pity TKO, but you know, sometimes you've got a guy, he really hurts the opponent and jumps through and finishes him. And that's a TKO win. He hurt him, he finished him. In that case, it was just like Chris Chapman took on a good position and landed some minuscule ground and pound. But for like 2 minutes nonstop, Charkey was eating little shots to the head and little shots to the head and little shots to the head. And there was a point where like, he was not really intelligently defending himself, but Chapman wasn't neither putting much into his strikes. Like, he wasn't really trying to put everything to finish the fight. He was just keep on going with the volume. And at a point near the end of the fight, at 4 minutes 11 of the third round, the volume was just too much for Ali Charkey. And the ref made the right choice. He had no other choice but to stop that fight. It would really have been bad if the poor Ali Charkey kept on getting hit in the head for another minute, man. The guy had already took a lot of damage in that fight. And the ref had to stop it. I think it's the good decision from the ref. It's not a spectacular TKO. That's what I was trying to say. It's not like, oh, the guy got hurt and finished spectacularly. That's not the case at all here. It was really a nutrition TKO. He had the good position. Charkey was not able to escape that position and had to eat the shot. So he basically was finished in that sequence. And he's going to come back stronger for sure, man. That's a learning experience for him to manage his gas tank. Because, like I said, he's got all the skills. He's big, he's strong, he's explosive, he's powerful. He's got everything. He just needs to manage his gas tank a little better, and then he's going to be able to do some great stuff in MMA. So, yeah, a little bit too much too soon for the boy Ali Charkey. But in another way, that's probably the right thing for him, because he had that lesson quick enough in his career, and he's going to be able to grow from that and be a better fighter from that. Then, kind of similar fight, except for the first round going in the other way. We had Cornelius Kron, Jet Grande. It was at 165-2. And yeah, there was no momentum swing in that fight. Jet Grande just came in, out-wrestled his opponent, and it was clear from the beginning that he was the way better wrestler, the way better grappler than Cornelius Kron. And Kron did his best, tried not to get into some bad positions, and he managed to did that a little bit in the first round, I feel, but second round, Grant was getting more and more of the better positions, and a little bit like in the Chapman-Charkey fight, there was an attrition TKO here. Jet Grant just had the better position and was delivering the ground and pound. And it was not that powerful. It was not that menacing, but it was in numbers. And Cornelius couldn't get out of the position. So basically he got finished here at 4:30 of the second round by TKO. And that's a good one for Jet Grant, because he had his pro debut, much anticipated pro debut. This guy's a one of the prospects, the amateur prospects that we've been looking at for a while, and that we know this guy's going to be a good pro fighter. And he went to the United States, fought, and came back with a draw. And I know he wasn't satisfied with that. I wanted to make her pro debut and come in with basically no results. It's not a win. It's not a loss. It's nothing. I know the guy couldn't be happy about that. And he just came back for his second fight, completely outgrappled the guy, and finally got his first pro win in his second fight. So major props to Jet Grant for that one. He's going to be one guy that we're going to keep looking at in the future. And that leads us to the first fight of the evening, 170, Phil Angerov, Dylan Schellenberg. And we can't really blame Dylan here. He was fighting against a real good striker, renowned Muay Thai striker in Phil Angerov. So he did what he had to do, man. Took the fight down, was not gonna mess around on the feet with the boy Phil Angerov. And he was confident there until the buddy Phil Angerov just shot for a triangle. And he got it. He got it at 356 of the very first round for a surprise, let's say, like that first round submission win, even though his only other pro fight also finished in a triangle choke in 2016. So I guess we had a little clue there that the boy Phil Angerov had an active guard from the bottom, and that's surely what he had. Was able to secure the first round finish here, move up to 2-0, and it's a rough pro start for Dylan Schellenberg, but he's still showing some great things off. I feel like this guy, he needs not to quit, for sure. I feel like he can do some good in MMA. It's not the start you're looking for, of course, 0-2. That's not what you want to do in your pro debut. But I still feel like there's some upside to this guy. There's some ways that this guy could become a good fighter and start to win some fights. There have been small things that made him lose his two first fights. And to be honest, I still think this guy can be something in MMA for sure. And as for Phil Angerov, man, this guy's a good striker, and now he's going to start submitting people. I guess he's going to be a problem if he can stay active. So I'm looking forward to this. And that's my recap, Unified 41. Good event, nice event. Unfortunately, the main event fell through at the last second, but Matt Krako, the G, was there to pick up the action, save the night, be the hero. And unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to defeat Shane Campbell. But who's able to defeat Shane Campbell anyway? Absolutely nobody's on the regional scene is able to do this. So speaking about that guy, let's go to Shane Campbell right now, see what he had to say about that fight. And then we're speaking to Jasmine Jezu, the vicious new UFC fighter. And finally, a segment in French with my homie Tommy Morrison, who will be making his pro debut in Quebec in November. And that's it. That was my Unified recap. I hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast. Okay, everybody, we're back and we're excited because we're here with, man, Canadian MMA mainstay, pioneer, legend. Say it how you can. This guy has been a pound-for-pound great in Canada for how long has he been fighting? For all that time, basically. And he's here
longer
today.
Longer than I have it.
He's here today. Shane Campbell, Shaolin Chain, what's up, man?
Hey, it's good, man. Very good, especially after this weekend.
Ah, for sure, man. I can't wait to talk about this and everything involving that fight, involving what happened. But first, I wanted to know, man, a couple of months ago, not months, I'd say weeks, I was scrolling my Instagram, and I was looking at some posts, things we do when we have nothing to do. And I saw that my man Shane Campbell was in Vegas taking photos with Ngannou and all these people, and he was training and looking for an opportunity. So I wanted to know, how did the Vegas trip come about, man?
Yeah, I mean, Canada has been up and down with their lockdowns and their restrictions and everything. And it came to a point where we had been locked down for a couple weeks, couple months, and it just was not looking promising. So I grabbed my I made the move and just went down to Vegas. I didn't know how long the lockdowns were going to last. As I mean, this is unprecedented, and none of it really, you know, so. I just made the move and I went down there and just got to the training. So let's see, do what you gotta do.
Did you go alone? Did you bring somebody with
along? No, I went by myself. And you know, it took a little while to. I ended up bouncing around at a couple different places, a hotel here, Airbnb there, a friend's place, and so I didn't have the greatest plan of heading down there just because I, you know, picked up and went right away, but I was able to figure out some places to stay, and I was at Extreme Couture the whole time, but phenomenal training. Extremely glad I went.
Man, this gym, but it's Syndicate too, but mostly Extreme Couture, man. Shit, everybody's been training there, I feel like. Like, people from New York are coming down to establish their camps at Extreme Couture. Like, it's been crazy how, like, everybody's been relocating from Canada to Vegas or Florida. It's either or, but everybody's been moving. So I wanted to know, how was it in general, like the training and everything?
Oh, the training's phenomenal. There's so much training every day. You can get multiple sessions in. And so many of the world's best fighters, as you've seen some of the pictures of the people I was training with, you know, far better than me. And that's the only way for me to reach the goals that I want is to, you know, to have people that I look up to show me the ropes.
Were there any intentions to get a fight down there, or did you know that you were fighting for Unified soon enough?
No, especially when I went down, I didn't know what was going to be happening. Especially, I mean, the Unified card before, no one in Canada accepted the fight with me. So, who really knew, right? I was willing to take a fight on a week's notice while I was down there, but that only works for some of the small promotions. Any of the bigger ones, you need a work visa, which takes 6 weeks process. Even if you expedite it, it's still at best going to take about 4 weeks. So it's kind of like not really an option to take that fight on a week's notice, no matter how ready I am. So the training was phenomenal. It got me in the shape I needed to be for this fight. Going forward, I mean, when I'm down there, any promotion knows that I'm willing to take a fight, so it doesn't really matter. But there's a process of them applying for the work visa.
And is it something that you're doing right now?
It's not something that I can necessarily do. It has to be the promotion that applies for.
Okay, yeah. You have to have a date and then you can apply for
Correct.
it.
Yeah,
Okay, I get it. Cool.
there's some other ways to kind of to mitigate around it, but it's not the easiest of processes, right? It's you need to have some sort of path to give to the visa people.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. So did you do your whole camp there, or you came back to Canada before
I've been doing one camp for about 18 years now, so it all
the
blends together, yeah.
end? Okay, cool. So then you get the fight, unified 41, big main event, big title fight, another belt that you're gonna add to your resume. You've been doing 55, 70, now 65. And you were supposed to fight Michael Hill, man, which was probably the biggest Canadian fight we could have this year. And man, it did not happen. What did the How did you find out first? What were you doing? How did you find out that it was not gonna happen?
Well, I mean, like we're at 6:30, we were supposed to have the big meeting with all the fighters and the commission in the back. So about 6:10, I was just me and my coach were just about to head down from the hotel down to the event, and I got a call right then saying that the fight was off. But Sonny said the fight's off, but I'm trying to figure it out. I'll give you a call back in a couple of minutes. So there was definitely a few minutes there of just like looking back at my coach and my coach looking at me like, what just how is this even a thing? I never got any type of excuse of why he was pulling out. All I heard was, he's out. We're trying to sort this out. Give us a couple minutes here. So there
Okay,
was
so
definitely, go ahead.
you heard nothing. Like basically they just told you he's out. You have no reason why he's out.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's bad, man.
But I mean, it really doesn't matter. Like at that point, there's no reason that is an eligible reason. I mean, unless you're in a car accident or something very, very legit. When I pulled up to West Edmonton Mall to pick up my coach just a couple hours earlier, I seen Michael Hill walking in with two of his guys. And then a few people were telling me that he was posting videos of him like riding go-karts in the at the amusement park hanging out and shit. So I don't know how you can be posting that and then pull out a couple hours later. So through the grapevine, I heard something like he had back spasms, but I mean that's not really I don't really get that. I don't believe that shit at all. I think he got scared.
Man, that's bad because he's an experienced fighter too. It's not like it's your first rodeo and like you just, oh shit, I can't do it. Finally, I don't know why I thought about doing that. Man, the guy's been doing it for so long and
Yeah.
he was at the weigh-in. You guys faced off. Everything was
Yeah.
done, man.
Yeah, the guy clearly don't want to bang.
Oh man, that's bad, man. That's super bad. But fortunately enough, Matt Krycko, he took the fight. That guy is a warrior, man. I saw him on the recent BTC card. He fought Tim Smith. This guy's a warrior. He's always there to fight when there's a fight. And I believe he was fighting one of your training partners. Is
Yeah,
that right?
Cole Campbell. So me and him trained at the Shave Bears in Sherwood Park here in Edmonton. And before I went down to Vegas, I was training there. And then when I came back, that's where I finished up my camp. So we trained together quite a bit ahead of this fight. We had a great group. Is me, him, Neil Anderson, and Mike Scarcello. So four 155ers. We're all, very different in our styles. So it was a great match for the four of us to all train together.
Yeah, so Cole basically relinquished his fight, and Matt Krycko moved up, fought you for the belt. It wasn't 65 anymore. I thought it was 70.
Yeah, so because Krakow had he weighed in for his 170 tight for his 170 bout, and I weighed in 165. We can't really go to the 65 just because if we want to make it for a title. So we went up to the 170. I gave up 5 pounds, but it's whatever.
Yeah, fortunately enough, he was on weight, because that's what's weird, man. Sometimes, like when a fight falls through last minute, you're okay, that guy comes in and you both agree to a new weight class, or you just do it. Man, everybody was weighed in. Like,
Yes,
fortunately
absolutely.
enough, there was a
Yeah.
guy that was fighting like within the weight class, because I know there's more and more weight classes now, but I believe, like, for the commissions, if you're within 160 to 169, 170, 71, you're welterweight, basically.
Yeah. And I mean,
So,
commissions really don't like the weight difference. Anything more than 5 pounds, really, like most commissions won't let a fight happen if there's, a 10 pound weight difference, which is kind of funny because super heavyweight, sometimes you have like 30, 40 weight pound difference. But I mean, commissions are there for the safety, and they don't always know exactly what they're doing, but they try to do their best, I guess. It definitely worked out. One funny thing is Sonny and the Unified team, they agreed to my fight no matter what without asking me, and the commission was like, whoa, we need to hear from Shane. And the Unified team just laughed, like, do you know who Shane is? Like, he accepts this fight. It's you don't gotta ask him. But they obviously had to reach out to me and get a confirmation from me personally.
yeah, for sure, man. So they, I guess Matt Greco is a local guy. Did you already know him, like his fighting style and stuff?
I mean, there was a little bit of talks leading up to it that he may be the opponent or Michael Hill. And I didn't look at him though in preparation. I also didn't look at Mike Hill either. I didn't really care who my opponent was or what they tried to bring to the table. I bring my own game to the table, and that's what I'm here to enforce my game, not react to yours. So.
Yeah, for sure. So that really didn't change your game plan or nothing, like,
No.
no. Because the thing I figured out before we speak about the fight really is that, like, but it's normal, man. You have so much experience, but you've become so well-rounded too in your game. Like, you're able to, yeah, you're just not just a striker anymore. We were used to knowing how the Shane Campbell guy is doing the Hadouken, the Dragon Ball stuff, and now he's a striker, he's a Muay Thai guy. But now you're able to do basically everything. Take the fight down if you need to, just control at every moment where the fight is taking place, and that's such like a huge weapon for a guy who just had an adversary change, a fight fall through at the last second. It pretty much should help you a lot to be able to do everything, to just be good everywhere.
MMA is very much like rock, paper, scissors, so having that ability is gonna help massively. But and for this fight specifically, I just was not too worried. I should I should be, on a stage like UFC or Bellator. So these regional fights, as grateful as I am, I really believe that I am a class above. And without, I mean, this fight, I think I showcased quite a bit, and I really believe I might just get that call before anything else.
Yeah, man, I really hope so. Man, you kind of remind, I know you know him, but you kind of remind me of a Jesse Ronson, man. The poor guy was fighting over here for so long, and he didn't deserve to be here. He was like way better than all his competition. He was like beating the shit out of everybody at 72 for a little while, and you really kind of feel like him, like the guy. You had your shot. You did good in the UFC too. Like, I'm pretty sure you're not like happy about how your first run ended, but you did really good. You won, contrary to Jesse, who didn't win back in the day when he had his first run. And like, I feel like you're really for a while on the short list of guys that if some and since you're the guy you are, and people know that you're willing to take a fight and almost any time. I feel like you're a good guy for like a short notice or something like that in the UFC if something falls through and you're just ready.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially with them going to Yas Island, it's not in the States. We don't got to get that kind of visa, and it can happen a lot quicker. So this is one thing to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure. So about this fight now, I think we're kind of screwing off a little bit, but about this fight, how would you rate your performance in general?
I'm always extremely critical, but the especially before I watched the fight, just in how I felt afterwards, the fact that I didn't get the finish. But then when I rewatched the fight, is Krejko is really quite good. He didn't allow me to do a few certain things. There was moments that I could have really turned it up to a higher gear, but I just kind of made sure I stayed on top and chipped away and did damage. I'm quite happy with my performance. I grew in a few different places. I did fight a safe fight, and I gave him respect all the way to the end. So I never let myself get in any dangerous positions.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think we can't say it enough, man. Huge respect to that guy, man, for taking that fight. And it's like, I don't want to be that guy, but like, your fight falls through and you're fighting Matt Krejko. It's cool, but like, you're fighting Matt Krejko. That fucking guy is fighting Shane Campbell now. That's kind of scary on the day's notice. You wake up, you think you're gonna fight like Cole Campbell, who's a really good fighter, like really, really good. But man, Shane Campbell, this guy's been doing it for how long? Man, it's crazy.
Yeah, and me and Cole, we had a beer after the next day, and he was saying the same thing, and that's what my coach said. Like when it very first happened, I was like, oh, this is, you know, as I was waiting to hear what was gonna happen if I had a fight or not, I'm like, oh man, this is weird. Like, now I have a new opponent, and my coach is like, yeah, but so does he, and his opponent is you. So, yeah, right?
Yeah,
where Cole Campbell, you know, he was going to probably take him down and wrestle him and try to choke him out. That's a much easier way to lose than having your face smashed in multiple times, so...
Oh, yeah, with the wide range of techniques for five rounds and, like, man, props to him. Just props to him. This guy was super willing.
No give up. He never had give up in him from start to finish. So, again, yeah, much respect for me.
For sure, and he saved the day. And we had a great event and a great main event, too. So that was everybody was waiting for, I feel like. Especially because they want to see fucking Shane Campbell fight, man.
Yeah.
Like you've been saying, like we've been discussing, like it's probably one of the last time we have the chance to see you fight over here. If everything goes according to plan, like
of course,
you shouldn't be fighting around here for too long, except if the UFC comes back to Canada someday. But like, man, with everything that's happening, who knows if they're daring to come back here, man. It's so
yeah, funny. Of course. And I mean, it would have been nice to get a KO finish right away, nice and early, but with the co-main event, that ended in about a minute. So for the sake of the show, it was quite good that you know my fight carried on for a while and we put on a good show. It was not, you know what I mean? It looked good. It didn't look ugly or nothing like that. So it was great for the show.
Yeah, for sure. My homie who watched the card with me, man, you can't stop talking about Christian Larsen now. He's like, oh man, who's this guy? I want to see this guy fight more. He's terrifying.
He's a big guy. He cut weight to make 265. And yeah, he impressed me with some of the throws that he was doing in that fight. And you don't really see or expect that from a big guy like him.
Yeah, no, you think he's going to swing and bang and he's just taking the poor guy down. He submitted him in a minute, 2 minutes maybe. It was a good showing, man. This guy is cool. I love him. Yeah, but the old Shave Bear crew, I feel like you got something going on over there.
Oh, yeah. Find your tribe, right? We're all very like-minded fighters. We're, you know, we get in there, we train hard, very focused, but legit killers for sure.
Yeah, just look at Neil. I know he lost his last fight, but this guy is like Neil Anderson. He's crazy, man. He's so good, so durable. And like all the – from the younger guys in the gym to the older guys in the gym that – and I spoke to Tanner before, to Spencer, Jeb. This guy – like people don't know how good this guy is because we haven't seen him fight in a little while before his last fight. So I feel like this gym – was it in – 2018 or 19, I don't quite remember, but like basically Shave Bear lost zero local fights all year.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know if they've lost any fights this year. Yeah, it's that's most definitely a very high win rate percentage for sure.
Yep. So we kind of touched on it, but I want to know everything goes according to plan. Like, what's next? When are you fighting? Where are you fighting? Who are you fighting?
If I don't get the call up, then it'll be December 17th for Unified again. Defend one of my belts. We'll figure that out. Depends on who accepts a fight. Tapology's got Asenza ranked above me, so that's who's on my target list.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
my only question.
Yeah,
Oh.
like I mean, if you're ranked above me, then yeah, you're my target, and we got to sort that out, you know.
For sure. And when you say the call, you do you is it really 100% UFC, or like if let's say ONE or Bellator or any of the other, like let's say major promotions that are not the UFC, if they come calling, would you
When
consider?
I talked to ONE FC and they the offer that they gave me, I denied it just because it was in a it was almost offensive, the offer that they gave me. It was such a little pay, and it was a six fight deal, and the increase of pay was so little that even if I had won five fights, I'd most likely be, you know, fighting their top guys at that point, but I would not have been making very much money at all. So it just did not make sense. It was not worth it. It was, you know, and it was, and it hurt my, it really hurt my soul to say no to that. It was one of the only times in my career where I kind of said no to an opportunity. But in the time that I did, it was a great thing that I did, because only 2 weeks later I signed a far better contract with Fight Night here in Alberta. And then COVID happened, and Fight Night hasn't been able to put on a show since. So very weird situation going on. And I mean, it's not only myself that has had to feel this, but I think people around the world, millions of people have been, you know, their dreams have been crushed from what's been happening.
Yeah, man, not to go too far off topic, but if you've seen the event this weekend, man, Nasrat and Dan Hooker, isn't that crazy what they had to basically go through to just fight, man?
Yeah, exactly. It's jumping. We have to jump through hoops just to be able to get in the cage in the first place. A lot of people don't understand the types of medicals
Yeah,
and
it's
we gotta,
crazy, man.
yeah, there's a lot of stuff we gotta jump through to be able to get in there. It's not it's you don't just be able to get to sign up and go fight. That's not the way it works.
No, and now they're just adding more restrictions, more and quarantines and stuff when you go back. And I, man, come on. Sometimes, no, I just don't want to get into it. Forget it. I don't want to get into that topic. It could last for so long, that discussion. It's just because, man, people need to do their jobs. You can't stop people from working. And if that fucking guy's a fighter, he needs to fight, and you need to
Absolutely.
help him make a living, because if not, he's gonna be on your health thing that they get. I don't know how they call it in English here in Quebec. It's PCR, that thing that he gives to fucking people every month, and that our deficit is like bigger than ever because he's given that money. Because like people, like here in Quebec, man, it's crazy. People just don't want to work anymore, basically. Like
Yeah.
you go into restaurants, like the other day, and I know I shouldn't go there, but the other day, McDonald's was closed at like 8:30 p.m. We
Yeah.
don't have enough staff, and it's everywhere. Restaurants everywhere, man. People just
Crazy,
fuck.
man. It's
It's
crazy.
crazy. I'm gonna leave you with the last word here. Like anything you want to say, shout outs, anything. The last word is yours, my man.
Yeah, huge shout out to everyone that helped me get here. Tammy at Apothic Naturals and Wellness. We got hyperbaric chambers. You know, I knock people out, you come on in and I'll heal that brain back up. Everyone at Shaved Bears, thank you so much. Down at Extreme Couture, my MVP crew in Vegas. You know, every camp is just a delight for me. Going through all the steps and the process is, I enjoy every aspect of this. So thank you all for being part of
I thank you, my man, for
it.
being here. Huge honor. And we'll keep doing you, man. We'll be following anything you do, man. We love me. I love me some Shane Campbell. Always
Cheers,
been the
yeah.
case. It's always going to be the case. So thanks a lot, my man. Thanks for being here. And anytime, just hit me up and you got your place on the podcast.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, my man. Bye. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back with UFC fighter Jasmine Jezet the Vicious. How does that sound?
It's, you know, I did well.
I'm pretty happy, man. How are you feeling?
I feel good, yeah.
You just got a big contract after a huge fight. How are you feeling, man? Lots of efforts have been put into this, and now it's paying off.
Yeah, exactly. It's it feels like it's like just starting to really sink in. Like I've been having like all these meetings to go to like the Performance Institute and like get linked up with like the strength and conditioning and the nutrition and like just everything, man. Like they take care of you so well, and so it's like starting to just really set in that like I'm actually in the UFC. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's great, man. I've been looking forward to seeing you there for a while, man. For first time I seen you, I believe it was the BTC fight, your third fight.
Oh yeah.
And I was pretty pleased. You pretty much like knocked the girl out with body shots in like a minute, something like that. And then you signed with CFFC, and then more finishes with knees and stuff. And then you had like the kind of a, let's say, kind of bullshit loss.
Yeah,
I felt like you didn't deserve that one, and then you bounce back, and then the big contenders fight. I wanted to know, after the first round, how were you feeling? Because on one part, you just had like won that round really decisively. You were really close to finishing her, so I guess you could be pretty confident about that. But on the other side, you just like used a lot of energy to do that, and the girl didn't go away. So I was wondering, after that first round, how were you feeling?
Yeah, you said it exactly correct. Like the ref was standing right over us saying, like, defend yourself, defend yourself. Like if it was 3 more seconds, like I would have had it. First round finish, that would have been crazy. But yeah, it, like you said, I did waste a lot of energy there. I mean, I don't regret it because I'd rather Dana see me trying to finish at least. So I think like that's what helped get the contract. So it worked out. But yeah, I was exhausted after the first because I put everything into it thinking that I could finish her. And so I like, you know, I've been in deep waters before. I accepted that it was just going to happen. I'm like, well, if I'm going here, I'm bringing her with me.
Yep, and then second round, she kind of started mounting a comeback. She was doing really good. Like she head kicked you like real flush.
Yeah.
I was so, when I saw that, I was so scared. And then after that, I kind of wasn't scared anymore because I was like, if she can like
basically take that,
yeah, she can get kicked in her head real flush like that. I guess she pretty much is not gonna get knocked out by that girl. So she just need to push through it and then turn around, you find a way to push through it, land some good shots, some good takedowns and stuff, and then you get the win. Were you really confident after the fight that you had done enough?
No, I wasn't, because it's contender series, so like Dana wants to see finishes, and it went to a decision, so I was super concerned, and like I was the first fight. So sitting in the back, it was like 2 hours because there was an extra fight on that card, of course. And so it was like 2 hours that I'm sitting there, like just like with a knot in my stomach, like, okay, will I get it? Won't I get it? And like after my fight, Dana kind of gave me props and said like, good job or good fight or something like that. So I was like, okay, this might be, I think I might have it. But then I watched the other fights and I was like, oh shit, these are some really good fights and there's finishes. So I'm like, that might change Dana's mind. Like, yeah, I don't know how many he's given out tonight. So I was super, super nervous. When I was sitting in that chair, I was like, oh my goodness, please, please, please. And he came through.
Yeah, man, like you said, it was really a great card. Like lots of finishes, even the non-finishes, the Australian guy was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I feel like the only guy that didn't get the contract was like the not good fight, I'd say. But man, you had like that Russian dude that One yeah. first round. I've been following that guy for a while. He was with ACB and then ACA yep. in Russia. He was a champ and all that. So I was like, man, she's got like really big competition against her on that card. And like basically, he gave the deal. I'm pretty happy with the way he's doing it this year. He's just like giving contracts left and right. And like, man, I feel like if he'd been doing that more, maybe Anthony Romero would have been in the UFC too. Because like yeah. last season, it was one of my main points is that, man, sometimes he's picking out people that, oh, impressive first round finishes or comeback wins in the third round and stuff. But he's not picking out the guy that just really dominated from A to Z the fight. And he seems like he's doing it more this year. So I don't know if it's the matchmakers that are more into his ear or if he just changed his mind on that. But I feel like that's good for fighters because sometimes, man, when you're fighting at that level, it was like only your seventh fight and you were fighting a girl that had way more experience than you and yeah. she was hitting really hard. So sometimes you can't just finish everybody like that. So.
Yeah, you're trying, but like when someone doesn't want to be finished, it's hard to finish them. Like, and she's fighting to change her life. Like a UFC contract is the what we all are working for. So like, it's hard to finish them unless you like catch them, knock them out or something like that. But like the way I was trying to go about it, it's friggin' tough to finish people that like they're fighting for their life, literally.
Yeah, man, exactly. And I wanted to know, are you living in Vegas now? Like, are you gone from Canada or will we see you back?
No, I come back on the 30th. Aaron Jeffries, like my teammate, he's fighting on Tuesday. And so I decided after my fight I would stay and got to enjoy Vegas a little bit. And I would look forward to seeing him on Tuesday. So and then I go back. But I'll probably come back for camps and stuff like that. Like having the PI is crazy. It's such a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure. And at Syndicate, you got girls too.
Exactly.
I see you're training a lot with Norma Dumont.
Yeah.
But she's kind of big, huh?
Yeah, that. But I mean, it's scary friggin' striking with her. Holy shit. but yeah, it's I've been like working with her and it's been great. Like I can't say enough good things about her. She's so awesome. Like such a hard worker and it's awesome.
Man, she's fighting Oli Holm. Damn. Yeah. I knew she had a fight coming up. I just Googled it. Oli Holm, that's a pretty big one.
And she's the main event now.
Yeah, because Misha has COVID. Damn, that's a big one.
Yeah. Oh.
So that's cool that you get like to be one of her main training partners for that.
I wouldn't say main, but she's working with like a bunch of the guys and stuff like that as well. So she's getting crazy rounds put in.
Yeah, but I guess that being in Vegas and stuff, that should have made it like a big difference in your game right now, especially in Canada, man, it's so complicated. Like most people can't even go to the gym anymore because of stuff that we're not getting into because it sucks, but it must be really good for you to just be there in Vegas, have man, just be free to train, just exactly. be there, lots of people in the gym, because man, right, like here there's way less people in the gym. Like my gym, there's way less people to jiu-jitsu classes and stuff since they put on that all that stuff,
all the restrictions. Man,
people there. Like some people, they got the vaccine, but they just, man, they don't want to go to the gym and put on their masks and do their all, because we're inside a normal gym, like a fitness gym with machines and weights and stuff. So we got to walk through this to go to our place. And like some people just like they're done with that shit. So it must be pretty cool to just be in the States and just freely train and have a lots of buddies in the gym and stuff.
It's so awesome. Like that's it. That's exactly why I came here. And that's why I did the camp here, because like there's so many girls here and like I'm able to just live a regular life. Like I don't have to worry about messaging all my training partners like the night before and like saying, oh, are you able to come in? Or like, okay, you got to park over here. I'll park over here. Like, it's just so stupid, you know?
Yeah, man, that's true. I remember during quarantine, we had one of my buddies, he just like bought mats and he's a carpenter. So he just like built basically a room in his house.
Nice.
So that we could roll. But like we had all that set up that, okay, so we're going to be 3-4 people. So you pick this guy up since you're close to him. And this other guy picks this other guy up. And when you're a minute away from coming in, you call me. So I open the garage door and you park in the garage so that neighbors don't see that there's people.
Exactly.
Man, we just fucking want to roll, man.
Exactly. Yeah. We're healthy. We're good.
We're young. We're doing sports, like what's gonna happen, shit, man.
I'm actually worried about like kids sports, like in Canada we're gonna be trash. Like the wrestling is all shut down. Well, it's like starting to get back up, but it's like for a year they shut down. So all these kids were in the impressionable year where they could have either continued with this sport or not. It wasn't available, so they stopped being interested in it. So like Canada's gonna be trash for the Olympics and all that kind of stuff in like 5 years from now because everyone stopped playing.
Yeah, I don't really. I think it's is it Lee Aubin Mercier, the Canadian gangster? I think it's him or somebody else. I don't quite remember, but someone like that who knows what they're talking about basically said that like we're gonna skip a generation basically because like. Man, I was to the BTC event last Saturday.
Oh yeah.
And man, like most people were making their pro debuts on the card and stuff, but they were all very good fighters because they're basically people that have wanted to go pro since 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
But like there wasn't shit, there wasn't any amateur fights, there wasn't nothing. So these guys, good enough for them. They were kind of ready to go pro, but all these other amateur fighters that have one or two fights that just can't get amateur fights anywhere, like, how are they going to come up? Are they going to turn pro? It's very tough because you can get better in the gym and stuff, but you need to get tested to have these fights, and you just can't become a UFC fighter by having no amateur fights and just jumping pro and then, like,
even to travel, too. It's like, that we've got a couple guys that are fighting in Buffalo. We could drive 40 minutes over there, but we can't cross the border. So now they have to drive to Toronto, fly, no direct flights. So have to like fly, do a delay and come back over. So it's going to be like $2,000.
That's Kevin, huh? Who's fighting?
There's a couple of guys fighting, but yeah, Kevin's one of them. And it's like, they're not making much money, and they got to pay $2,000 each corner to fly them over. Like it's insane.
Oh man, it's so stupid. Like you're in Niagara, you're so close to Buffalo, man.
Yeah.
And you need to go to Toronto. That's what, 2-3 hour drive?
It's like an hour and a bit, but still it's if you hit any traffic, it's a 3 hour drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nuts.
Man, that's so ridiculous, man. Yeah. What the fuck is happening? Yeah, so like you said, you're gonna go back to the States for your camps, basically.
Yeah, back to that. Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool. Now I think I'm gonna try to get this podcast out on Tuesday morning. So I wanna know what's going to happen with Aaron. We've been waiting for a while. We want him in the UFC. He's probably the most deserving Canadian guy. So what's going to happen? How is he doing? We want to know all the latest, man.
He's looking like a stud in the gym. I think he spent a lot of his camp with hit Aaron's whole camp, plus he was helping Strickland out for Strickland's camp. So Don's pretty hip, we call him Don, but you know, Aaron, he's like pretty much been in camp since he got to Vegas, and so he's been here for so long, but now he is no carbs and stuff like that. So he's like, his weight's like coming right down and everything. He looks good.
Man, he's so big.
Yeah.
Because I saw him in the gym a couple of times because my good friend Julien Leblanc was friends with him and Elias. They were both coming down and they were sparring in Montreal since it was close when Elias was at TriStar. And like, it's crazy how you just don't really figure out the size of people until you see people with other people. Because Sean Strickland is fucking huge. Like, when you see him in the cage, he's a monster. He's huge. Yeah. He's tall. He's long. And I just saw a picture, and like, Aaron's bigger than him. Like, basically, and I was like, holy shit, how the fuck is he that big, man? He looks so fit, and he's got all his little mullet thing going. Now he's kind of the old mullet MMA authority.
Speaking of Elias, actually, he's down here right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, he's been training with Aaron and Strickland and everything.
Okay, so there's a bunch of Canadians. Everybody's leaving, man. That's crazy.
Seriously.
You've got like Barrio, Julian, now Jesse Arnett. They're all at Sanford. There's lots of guys in Vegas. Everybody's leaving, man.
It's too hard to make it work in Canada. Man.
That sucks.
Yeah.
what a sad life we're living, man. But, man, I'm so happy for you, Jasmine. Let's be happy. You're a UFC fighter. Yeah. Now, what's next for you? When are you looking to fight? If you come back in Canada, I guess you're not looking at a fight in, like, the next month or two.
Well, I mean, I told Dana I want to fight right away, so I'm willing to take a short-notice fight. But, I mean, we'll see if they allow it or whatever. But if not, then I think anytime, I don't know that nothing, no one's told me anything. I'm sure my manager's all talking to him. So I'm hoping that I fight soon, but who knows? I'm going back to Canada, but I can like book a flight cause it's like for work. So I'll be able to fly.
Like, what's your idea of a come up in that division? Because, like, you're in one of the only, like, deep women's division, I feel. Like, there's lots of bodies, lots of people. And I know you're not that young in age, but you're really young in your career. Like, you started not a while ago. So I feel like there's lots of ways to still develop. So why are you looking at it? If you want to go, like, quickly through the ranks, or you're okay with taking, like, some fights and just – like taking it a little slow.
No, I want to fight. Like I exactly what you said, I'm older, so I want to get a bunch of fights, and I want to reach the pinnacle of the sport. I go as far as I possibly can. I like ideally, I'd like to become a world champion, and so I want to fight. You know, you got to fight often if I want to do that. So let's get these fights going.
Okay, so let's say they call you tomorrow. There's a top 10 fighter who needs a short notice. You're in?
Yeah, I would do it for sure. For that opportunity, that's what this whole game is about, taking opportunities when they present themselves.
Of course, man. So I'm going to let you go. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. And anytime, man, you want to say something, just hit me up and I got a place for you on the podcast anytime you want.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, bye. See ya. Bye.
Hey, what up, guys? On est back avec un des meilleurs espoirs en MMA au Québec. Quelqu'un que j'avais vraiment hâte de vous pouvoir parler avec lui à l'aube de ses débuts pro. Tommy Morrison. Comment ça va, man?
Salut, ça va bien, toi?
Ça va super bien. Comme je disais, vraiment content d'avoir la chance de te parler aujourd'hui. Un prospect qu'on entend parler depuis longtemps. T'as fait beaucoup de bruit sur la scène des amateurs en MMA, gagné des belts, toute la patente. Donc, je voulais savoir... jusqu'à présent, comment t'évalues un peu ton parcours d'MMA, tes combats amateurs, puis toute ta progression, comment tu vois ça de combat en combat?
Je pense que ça a bien été. J'ai bien été dirigé aussi par mon équipe. J'ai appris beaucoup de ma seule défaite, qui est probablement ma plus grande leçon que j'ai eue. Puis, je suis content de l'avoir eue, honnêtement. C'est vraiment mieux de l'avoir en amateur qu'en professionnel, puis c'était une bonne leçon pour moi. Puis, ouais, c'est la leçon, genre, c'est la seule personne que j'avais sous-estimée dans mes adversaires, puis j'ai perdu, donc je n'ai appris bien gros. Puis je pense que ma carrière amateur s'est bien déroulée, tu sais, j'ai 7-1, c'est quand même pas pire, on peut se le dire. Puis ouais, c'est ça, j'ai bien aimé mon parcours amateur.
Principalement, c'était pour MFL que tu te battais, je pense?
Ouais, MFL, puis je me suis battu une ou deux fois pour Fight Quest aussi.
Je me rappelle, il y a une fois que j'étais là, je me rappelle même pas quel combat. J'ai dit, mais il est bon, lui. Le petit, il faut que je me rappelle de son nom. Puis après, j'ai essayé un peu de suivre ta fiche. Là, j'ai pas la chance d'aller dans tous les événements amateurs, là, malheureusement, mais je sais que ça a bien évolué. Fait que tu me parlais de ta défaite, ça, c'était contre David Dao, si je me trompe.
Exactement.
Puis tu dis, c'est le combat qui t'a fait le plus grandir. Après ça, tu as eu. Ça fait combien de combats, ça, approximativement?
Je pense que c'était mon quatrième. Fait que j'en ai eu. C'était mon quatrième ou mon cinquième? Fait que j'en ai eu deux, trois après.
OK, puis t'es tout avec des victoires. Puis là, ce que je voulais savoir aussi, c'est. Toi, ça fait combien de temps précisément ton dernier combat amateur?
C'était en août. Ça fait un an et quelques mois, hein?
OK, fait que avant la pandémie, tout, je pense que ça faisait, comme je dis, ça fait longtemps qu'on entend ton nom un peu sur la scène. Fait qu'avant la pandémie, est-ce que tu avais déjà eu un peu des discussions pour faire tes débuts pro, tu sais, avant Samouraï, avant tout ça?
Oui, je l'avais déjà eu avec mon équipe. C'est sûr qu'on aurait, au début, nous, ce qu'on voulait, c'est faire une dizaine de combats amateurs, donc je n'aurais fait peut-être deux, trois autres. Mais avec le COVID, puis les combats amateurs étant quand même durs, à organiser, on a décidé de m'envoyer pro directement.
Ouais, parce que veux pas un moment ou un autre, ça doit être dur de trouver des match-up au niveau amateur. C'est des gars que t'as pas déjà affronté parce que, écoute, 7-8 combats amateurs, il y a des gens qui en ont plus que ça, mais c'est rare. Là, souvent, là, récemment, dans l'époque de TKO, pis tout, on voyait des gars commencer pro avec 4, 5, 6 combats amateurs. Donc, tu sais, quand t'approches la dizaine de fights amateurs, des fois, c'est difficile de pogner des gars qui sont de bon calibre, là, quelqu'un qui peut challenger, parce que ceux qui ont plus que 10 combats amateurs, des fois, c'est juste des gens qui restent sur la scène amateur puis ils ont peut-être pas les fiches les plus reluisantes. Là.
C'est sûr, ouais, je suis d'accord avec toi. Aussi, c'est vrai que les adversaires, ça semblait ils n'avaient de moins en moins.
Non, c'est ça, définitivement. Fait que là, on a appris que tu allais faire tes débuts pro, tu as signé avec Samouraï. La carte, c'est le 19 novembre prochain. On avait eu des annonces qui avaient été faites. Je sais qu'il y a eu beaucoup de changements sur la carte. Toi, est-ce que ça tient encore avec Adam Sacco?
Supposément, oui. Pour moi, c'est bon.
Ben, j'ai entendu la même affaire, fait que c'est réconfortant à ce point-là. Qu'est-ce que tu penses de ce match-up-là? Je sais que tu as déjà affronté plusieurs de ses coéquipiers du H2O. Je vais demander qu'est-ce que tu pensais de ce match-up-là pour ses débuts pro. Je sais que Daniel, moi, à chaque fois qu'il m'en parle, il me vend ça comme étant. C'est ça, c'est le fight avec nos deux gros prospects qui se battent dès leur début. Je vais demander de ton point de vue à toi, là, comment tu trouves ça, ce match-up-là?
Moi, je suis très content avec ce match-up. Affronter quelqu'un de H2O en plus, c'est encore mieux pour moi. J'ai pas une relation très, très proche avec les gars d'H2O. Je pense pas qu'ils m'aiment tous beaucoup. Puis c'est la même chose pour moi. Donc, je pense que c'est un bon match-up. Moi, je suis très content, honnêtement.
D'un point de vue de style, je le sais, Adam, c'est un gars qui aime plus, tu sais, théoriquement, se battre debout. On l'a vu aller au sol un peu, mais je pense que sa force, c'est vraiment plus debout. Toi, t'es vraiment quelqu'un de très complet. Là, on s'entend, t'as une bonne boxe, mais t'es aussi un bon lutteur, très bon jiu-jitsu. Fait comment tu vois ça? Est-ce qu'il y a une place que t'aimerais mieux que ça se déroule, ce combat-là, ou t'es genre « whatever happens, je pense que je peux faire ça partout?
J'ai mon game plan, puis... Vous allez le voir pendant le combat, mais ouais, je pense que je sais où est-ce que ça va s'enligner le combat.
Excellent, c'est ça qu'il faut maintenant. Parle-moi de ton équipe un peu. Là, tantôt, tu sais, on a parlé avec mon équipe, je sais que tu t'entraînes au Tristar, mais tu fais beaucoup de place, tu as beaucoup de gens qui t'aident un peu partout. Fait que parle-moi un peu de tous ces gens-là puis de ton training, dans le fond.
En ce moment, je m'entraîne beaucoup au Tristar, c'est sûr, avec les pros au Tristar. Je m'entraîne aussi avec Frank, je ne sais pas si vous connaissez le coach de boxe sur Instagram, Frank Boxing Coach, il est quand même assez populaire. Donc, je fais ma boxe avec Frank, ça fait un bout déjà. Est-ce que je m'entraîne d'autre? Je m'entraînais un petit peu, beaucoup chez Oma avant. J'ai commencé à m'entraîner avec un Thaïlandais qui a environ 150 combats professionnels, qui vient de la Thaïlande directement. Je fais des privés avec lui. Donc, je m'entraînais un petit peu avant au Wrestling Club, au Montreal Wrestling Club, mais là, ça allait fermer à cause du COVID, mais c'est réouvert, puis je vais y retourner bientôt. Puis, ouais, that's about it. Je m'entraîne aussi au 360 avec Xavier Alaoui.
Xavier, ouais.
Et je fais aussi des cours avec Pat Côté.
Crème, dans le fond, t'es partout, man, quand tu penses à ça.
Ouais.
Ça te fait des gros horaires, man. Ça ressemble à quoi un peu une semaine pour toi? Ben, je sais que tu vas à l'école aussi, là.
Ouais, c'est quand même assez rempli. Donc, je m'entraîne deux fois par jour, puis j'ai environ deux cours par jour. Donc, c'est environ 3h30 d'entraînement par jour, 6 jours semaine. Puis avec environ... donc, ça fait 20-25 heures d'entraînement par semaine avec environ 15 heures de cours d'école, puis X heures d'études. Donc, c'est quand même assez chargé, ouais.
En plus, là, t'es retourné à l'école en tant que tel. Je sais que c'est en ligne, là, mais là, l'université, toi, t'es à Concordia, hein?
Exactement.
Crime Moutou, c'est là que j'ai fait mon bac en sociologie. T'es en quoi, toi?
En génie informatique.
Tabarnouche, ça se passe, man. Ça te donne une bonne porte de sortie pour le MMA. Je sais qu'il n'y a pas beaucoup de fighters professionnels d'MMA qui vont vraiment à l'école en même temps de se battre. Toi, c'est quelque chose qui est important pour toi, ça, de continuer à aller à l'école quand même?
Ben, c'est sûr. Si, exemple, demain, je me blesse, je ne peux plus me battre, j'ai besoin d'aller à l'école.
Non, c'est sûr, ça te prend un bon bac. En plus, ça, c'en est un quand même bon, là.
Quand même
quelque chose d'acceptable. Donc, pendant la pandémie, parle-nous de ça, man. Qu'est-ce qui s'est passé avec toi, genre, niveau training? Tout, je sais, Tristar, ils ont eu des problèmes avec la police, mais c'est resté ouvert quand même. Comment t'as réussi à t'arranger?
Moi, je faisais mes trainings... Je m'entraînais, je faisais beaucoup de cardio, je veux pas trop en dire, non, mais tu sais, les gars, on se tenait en forme, on n'a pas arrêté.
Yeah, c'est ça que je me rends compte, man, un peu à largeur de tous les fighters, man. C'est quasiment impossible d'empêcher du monde comme vous autres, tu sais, de s'entraîner. Les crimes, c'est tellement, tu sais, dans vos habitudes de vie, comme tu dis, tu vas à l'école, tu t'entraînes deux fois par jour en plus de tout ça. C'est quelque chose, tu peux pas enlever ça de même, là, à quelqu'un, dire, oh non, là, c'est trop dangereux, s'il te plaît, entraîne-toi pas.
Mais non, puis si je m'entraîne pas, je deviens fou. Genre, je peux pas ne pas m'entraîner, j'ai besoin de. C'est comme probablement beaucoup de fighters, genre, tu leur enlèves leur sport, leur passion, ça marche pas.
Yep. T'as un horaire occupé, mais en dehors de tout ça, là, admettons, là, t'as une journée off, OK? Il n'y a pas d'école, il n'y a pas de training, il n'y a pas rien. C'est quoi tu fais? Okay? C'est quoi ton activité, là, ta go-to activité de « Ah, oh, là, j'ai du temps libre, c'est ça que j'ai envie de faire? »
Ben, moi, j'aime vraiment... je game beaucoup avec mes amis ou sinon juste... sortir, aller au resto avec des amis.
Tu games à quoi?
En ce moment, je game beaucoup à League of Legends. J'ai recommencé depuis un petit bout.
OK, à l'ordi, ça?
Ouais. J'ai aussi le PS5.
Ah, t'as le PS5, toi?
Ouais.
Ah, t'es bien?
Je suis bien.
T'es bien? Ah ouais, moi, je voulais pas l'acheter tout de suite. En plus, là, ça sert à rien, mais là, je vois tous les jeux. Moi, j'aime vraiment les jeux de sport, là, genre NHL, Madden, UFC, ces affaires-là. Là, je vois, ils sortent tous sur PS5, là, puis les graphiques ont l'air malades. Les gens ont l'air fous. Comme ça me prend ça. Là.
Bon, ben, récemment, il y a 2K, NBA qui sort.
Ouais, aussi.
Puis c'est bon, ça. Ouais, il est nice. Les graphiques sont nice.
Excellent, man. Crime ça qu'il faut. Gros jeu vidéo, man. T'es-tu à l'ordi League of Legends? J'ai jamais joué à ça. Hein. C'est des jeux de.
Ah non?
Non, j'ai jamais joué à ça. J'ai joué. Je sais que mes demi-frères, quand que j'étais jeune, ils jouaient bien gros à Diablo, à Warcraft. C'est-tu de quoi qui ressemble un peu?
J'ai jamais joué, mais j'ai déjà entendu parler, ouais.
C'est le seul jeu, c'est con, le seul jeu que j'ai joué à l'ordi. C'était pendant la pandémie, j'ai joué à Among Us, pas mal.
Among Us, c'est l'ordi, hein? Moi, je jouais sur mon cell.
Ouais, j'ai essayé, je trouve que ça allait mal, j'aimais pas ça, man. Fait que j'ai downloadé sur Steam, là, il coûtait comme 4$, 5$, de quoi de même. Je me suis fait bien du fun parce que je travaille de nuit dans un hôtel, OK? Puis, man, la pandémie a été rough, ça, à job, mettons. Ah ouais. Des 8 heures, quand t'as des 8 heures de shift de nuit dans un hôtel à faire, puis t'as comme 3 clients dans la place, tu le sais que tu vas avoir du temps devant toi. Fait que Among Us m'a bien aidé à passer à travers mes nuits de travail.
Ouais, non, c'est vraiment nice comme jeu. Ouais, moi aussi, j'ai bien aimé ce jeu-là, j'ai tout joué.
Ah, c'est cool, man, tu peux crasser le monde.
C'est ça qui est le fun.
Ah, oh, puis genre tout le monde a comme vraiment son style. Moi, je suis pas un bon menteur, honnêtement. Je suis vraiment à chier comme menteur, mais j'ai la capacité de pouvoir dire ben de la merde. T'sais, si tu me laisses parler, je peux parler pendant des heures puis dire un paquet de styles d'affaires qui n'ont pas rapport. Donc, des fois, je réussissais comme à endormir le monde un peu. On jouait sur des serveurs Discord. Là.
J'ai réussi
à endormir le monde un peu là, avec ma parole, même, parce que je disais beaucoup trop de merde.
Ben, c'est ça. Chacun a sa stratégie. Il y en a qui parlent pas, il y en a qui parlent trop. C'est quand même juste stratégie. Honnêtement, c'est vraiment nice.
C'est, ouais, c'est weird, mais pour vrai, je me souhaite des amis là-dessus. Là. Il y a encore une couple de monde que je leur parle encore. Puis des fois, quand on fait rien, on joue à des petits jeux en ligne, des affaires de même. Là, fait que c'est con. Je pensais pas me faire des amis random dans le Québec en jouant un petit jeu de bonhomme. Là.
Ben non.
Yes, fait que là, on est au mois de septembre. Il te reste environ 2 mois jour pour jour là, avant ton combat. On est le 12 et le 19 que c'est prévu. Ça ressemble à quoi, là, ton training? Est-ce que plus le combat avance, plus que tu vas faire des choses en particulier? Dans ton entraînement, là, je parle au niveau plus spécifique. Ou, de quoi ça a l'air les semaines plus que le combat avance là, pour toi?
C'est les mêmes semaines que j'ai en ce moment. C'est peut-être juste tout ce qui va changer, c'est peut-être la diète. Ça va être plus sévère. Là, j'ai déjà commencé la diète. Mais tu sais, ça va devenir de plus en plus sévère, c'est sûr. Mais l'entraînement, je m'entraîne 2 fois par jour, 6 jours/semaine déjà, genre, ça va pas. Hein. Je vais peut-être faire plus de cardio.
Ça a l'air de quoi, toi, justement? La diète, toi, tu pèses combien environ?
Dans la vie de tous les jours, je pèse environ 142-153.
OK, puis fait que 125, t'es pas si loin, mais je sais que Samouraï, il parlait de pesées, là, que tu peux pas trop te déshydrater puis tout. Fait que. OK, 142, t'es pas lourd, par exemple. En ce moment, là, à 2 mois d'un combat, t'es pas lourd partout. Là.
Non, j'ai moi, ça, la perte de poids, puis ça, je la fais quand même facilement avec la diète que je suis. Là.
C'est combien de temps que t'es prête, toi, là, me semble? J'ai l'impression que ça fait 1 an et demi, 2 ans que t'es dans le gym, et tu pourrais te battre demain matin. Puis...
Ouais, je suis tout le temps prêt, mais avec le COVID, c'est sûr, ça a tout compliqué, mais vraiment, je suis tout le temps prêt.
Yep, t'es-tu content que ça soit à Montréal?
Ouais, je suis très content. Je vais pouvoir ramener tout mon monde. J'ai beaucoup, beaucoup d'amis, la famille qui veulent venir. Puis si c'était pas à Montréal, ça aurait été plus compliqué. Il y en aurait quand même qui seraient venus, mais beaucoup moins.
Non, c'est ça. Au moins, c'était la fin de semaine, mais faire un aller-retour à Gatineau. Il faut que tu sois motivé si tu fais l'aller-retour, sinon il faut que tu couches là. Ça coûte de l'argent. C'est pas tout le monde qui est down là, à Montréal. Étant un gars local, tu vas pouvoir ramener ton crew et tout.
Ouais, il y aura beaucoup de monde. C'est sûr, je vais ramener bien du monde.
Yes, ben écoute, man, honnêtement, là, c'est un des combats que j'ai le plus hâte de voir là, sa carte. Je ne le cacherai pas. Ça fait longtemps qu'on entend parler de toi. Ça fait longtemps que j'entends parler d'Adam aussi. Moi, je veux pas Mick Dufort, c'est un de mes bons amis. On vient de la même ville. Fait que tu sais, je sais, il habite avec puis tout. Fait qu'il me parle souvent à lui. Fait que là, j'arrête pas d'être de plus en plus hype pour ce match-up-là. Puis de voir finalement, tu sais, c'est quoi de Tommy Morrison qu'on me parle depuis des années? Si j'ai eu la chance de le voir, c'était là chez les amateurs, mais ça a l'air de quoi chez les pros puis tout. J'ai vraiment hâte de voir ça, honnêtement. Un des combats à ne pas manquer pour tout le monde. Puis même, je te laisse le mot de la fin, peu importe ce que tu veux dire, si tu veux shout-out n'importe qui des sponsors, n'importe quoi, vas-y fort.
Non, j'ai juste envie de shout-out tous les gars avec qui je m'entraîne, les pros du Tristar qui m'aident à tous les jours. Gros shout-out aussi à Xavier Alaoui, à Frank, à Firas, à toutes les pros avec qui je m'entraîne, mon père qui s'occupe de ma carrière, puis tout le monde qui me supporte. Un gros shout-out.
Yes, ben hey, merci Tommy Morrison. Ben hey, for merci sure, man.
Merci de me recevoir.
Ben, ça me fait plaisir, mon gars, comme je t'ai dit, ça faisait un bon moment que j'avais envie de te parler. Là, j'attendais juste comme le moment, mais là, ça arrive. Là, finalement, c'est le temps de commencer à se mettre un peu dans le beat de cet événement de Samouraï-là. Fait que, for sure, mon gars, c'est moi qui commande pour Fight Network avec Joe Randy. Ouais.
Fucking nice.
Ouais, puis je vais avoir d'autres mondes là, pour justement faire les entrevues d'après-combat. Je vais emmener mon chum Greg qui fait le podcast avec moi. Max Carabine aussi, je vais l'amener pour pouvoir faire tout, man. Parler aux gars, parler à tout. On va faire ça nice. On a envie crime.
T'as tapé cette équipe, genre.
Ouais, exact. Là, c'est ça. Parce que je veux pas, Greg, ça fait un an que j'ai demandé de faire le podcast avec moi. C'est un de mes amis dans la vie. Je l'ai rencontré. Il allait à l'école avec mon chum Adam Daichka. qui se battait heavyweight puis tout. Fait que puis Max Carabine, j'ai juste vu sur internet, j'ai dit Chris, il est bien drôle lui, je me suis mis à y parler puis le souvent les, on fait des podcasts ensemble les trois puis tout. Fait qu'on je veux vraiment faire de quoi de nice pour Samouraï, là, t'sais, ramener genre l'engouement. Ça fait tellement longtemps, man. J'étais là la dernière fois, c'était au mois de mai 2018, je pense. C'est Chris, la dernière fois que Cyril Gann s'est battu localement.
Pour
c'était au TKO à Gatineau.
J'étais là.
T'étais là, toi?
Mais non, c'était pas à Québec.
C'est à Gatineau, man.
OK, parce que moi, j'étais allé voir un TKO à Québec, je pense, puis il y avait Cyril Gann qui se battait aussi.
Contre Adam, je pense.
Je pense que c'était un gros, là, un gros...
Ouais, avec des shorts verts fluo, là.
Exact, puis ouais, les...
C'est ça.
C'est lui.
C'est Dredd Adam, Dredd contre Adam, cette fameuse soirée-là, man. Puis c'est ça, après ça, il s'est rebattu une autre fois. C'était au TKO... Je sais pas si c'était dans la même année ou l'autre année d'après. C'était au mois de mai 2018, basically, à Gatineau. C'est le dernier événement local qu'on a eu ici. Puis, man, on est overdue là, pour du MMA. Fait que c'est pour ça que j'amène tout le monde avec moi pour qu'on fasse genre de quoi de vraiment nice, qu'on puisse faire des entrevues d'après-combat, un vlog, tu sais, tout de quoi de vraiment cool pour ramener genre l'engouement où c'est qu'il était. Parce que, man, tu sais, Daniel travaille vraiment fort sur cet événement-là. Il y a eu toutes les embûches du monde. Tu savais, hey, les salles qui changent d'idée, le passeport vaccinal, il y a comme 4,5 fighters de vaccinés au total. Fait que là, il faut qu'ils se fassent une carte avec ce qui reste. Heureusement, la carte qu'il a faite est super belle, tu sais. Puis là, en plus, il y a des limites de la régie, il n'y a pas plus que tant de combats. La salle à Gatineau qui cancelle, il y en a eu des histoires là, par rapport à ce samouraï-là. Ouais. Fait qu'on a vraiment hâte à la date pour faire de quoi de big pour le monde. Puis on commence ça direct aujourd'hui, Esti, avec Tommy Morrison, man. C'était le first à être entrevu pour l'événement de Samouraï. Fait qu'un gros merci à toi, mon Tommy. Je suis bien content.
Merci à toi. Je suis bien content aussi de t'avoir parlé.
Cool. Ben, on se reparle d'ici là, man. Puis sinon, là-bas.
Parfait.
Yes, ciao, sir. Man. Ciao, man.